I would. Thank you, Mr. Attorney.
Councilmember Burr.
So, we can start off with a little levity. If I'm eating candy as I'm listening to the people to be heard, and it went on and on and on, and I looked at my candy bar and I thought, oh my God, are they going to take this away from me next? Because it has a lot of sugar. So, with saying that, I really strongly believe that taxation without representation is one of our pillars of our government. And I do understand that the previous council had found the loophole in our second-class city, maybe our BMQ code, or maybe the state statutes. I don't know. I appreciated Hugh Diamond, previous mayor Hugh Diamond's comment about the previous council and what he said. That's what started the Boston Tea Party, taxation without representation. That's the reason why we had very angry members of the public saying we were not represented for that purpose. Are we going to have something similar? And again, maybe a little levity. Are we going to have a Bethel City parking lot party where people bring their sodas and dump it in front of the building there? We have money. I think this tax is very unnecessary. We have over $30 million in our coffers. And that's not our operating fund. That is not close to touching our operating fund. I was talking to one of the retailers, and I've been getting a lot of phone calls too. Lots of great people calling me, and we're having really good discussions. Some would get angry, some wouldn't. Some would listen to what I'm saying, and some would disagree with me, which is fine. But I was talking to one of the retailers about the tobacco tax when it was enacted. And he was telling me that his tobacco sales did go down. And so he approached a couple of his customers, and he said, what's going on? Did you quit tobacco? Did you stop tobacco? They said, hell no. I didn't stop tobacco. I just started ordering it from somewhere else. So they don't have to pay the 15% tax. We did that with the alcohol. Now the alcohol is being, bought by friends or family living in different areas and sending their alcohol to carry out. We're missing out on that tax. Now we're going to add soda to the mix or sugary beverages to the mix. We're going to lose out on taxes. And then the sneaky thing that I don't like about this whole ordinance is you guys brought up that you would ask for 2 cents per ounce. I know that as a ploy, and this would be my ploy, is I would say, okay, we're not willing to do 2 cents, let's do 1 cent. I'm not going to settle for that. A lot of people talk about the King and Kool-Aid. And I did the math on my own where 34 quarts of Kool-Aid or a big canister, 34 quarts Kool-Aid would make, that's a tax of $21.76. So a $9.99 container of Kool-Aid, which makes 34 quarts, that's going to be taxed at $21.76. Pang, which makes a big can of Pang, which makes 22 quarts, at 2 cents an ounce, is going to be taxed at $14.08. And again, that's like a $9.99 container. I've heard about from a lot of people about what rights of the city to dictate how I live. If the people are so concerned about health issues, maybe we should get YKHC to build that gymnasium. And then you talk about crappy water. And then I heard a lot of your professional representatives talk about the region with all the tooth decay and obesity and diabetes. We're talking about Bethel. We're not talking about the region. One of the things that I also thought about is the use of Crisco in a Gudeg. You know how dangerous that is and how bad it is for our health? And yet nobody talks about it. Are we going to do anything about it? People talk about education. Why is there not any education out there saying that this causes so many ills or health problems within our region? I was reading some of the publications, screen note rates for YK Delta diabetes were lower than the state overall. And that was the Department of Health and Social Services 2019 report. So we have some of the lowest rates of diabetes screening than the entire state. Again, that was the Department of Health and Social Services report 2019. Also reported by Alaska Diabetes Coalition in their strategic planning 2020-2025, they again stated they have lower screening rates in the YK Delta than the state overall. I think we're missing the point in the sense of if we want to prevent a lot of these health issues, I think YK needs to step up and do a lot more education. When you talk about, and this is from DCRA, Department of Regional and Community Affairs, you talk about the food stamps in Bethel. Dave Hicks talked about it a little bit. 20% of Bethel depend on food stamps. 58% of people in villages, depend on food stamps. They come to Bethel every month, and as you guys see them, they come to Bethel, they buy their three cans of Kool-Aid and their three cans of Tang and a lot of other things with food stamps, and we're going to increase the price of that for them. When you talk about an excise tax, and I think a lot of people that have testified are kind of hiding behind that because the consumers are going to be charged that tax. When people say, oh, they don't have to, the wholesalers don't have to tax, or add the amount of money to what they're trying to sell, i.e. sugary drinks. Oh, you're darn sure that the retailers are going to pass that cost on over to the public. When I was reading up on this yesterday, I don't remember the website, but there were only 8 communities within the country that had a sugar tax. And there were 3 in California, 1 in Colorado. I don't remember one was in Albany. But one of the things that they did not tax was the powdery drinks. They did not tax the powdery drinks. If you read some of the publications that you find online, there is no sugar powder tax. Some of the professionals that testified to this whole idea of this ordinance, all the professionals, the diabetes people, the heart people, the toothbrush people, or the dentist, where is the aid provided for our community so that our people can make those informed decisions? I think they need to step up and provide more of that education, and then talk more about it. One of the things that I really don't like is where I know it's a ploy, where you're going to say, oh, you won't accept 1-2%, and you'll accept 1%. So those are my thoughts. I am vehemently against this tax, and I really believe that this should be brought before the people to be voted on, not a council of seven who may not necessarily be on the lower end of income and just can't afford this water. I really would like this ordinance to be tabled for another few months and have this community consider a public vote by doing a poll or a petition to get it on the ballot. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Council Member Barr. Would any additional council... Council Member Barr. Would any additional council members like to speak?
Mayor DeWitt, I'd like to.
Vice Mayor Hanson.
Hi, yeah, I want to bring up a few points based on what I've heard. One is that the per ounce amount that is listed in the ordinance is actually 1 cent per fluid ounce. I don't know where this 2 cents is coming from. It's in 4.17A.020 excise tax on sugar sweetened beverages A.
It's in the amendment.
Okay, that's not what I have in front of me on.
Vice Mayor Hanson, the ordinance in front of us this evening says 1 cent, and there is a recommendation from the Parks, Rec, Aquatic Health and Safety Center Committee to Council to consider increasing that to 2 cents. So the ordinance, the draft ordinance as it stands is 1 cent, and there's a proposal to consider 2 cents.
Gotcha. Thank you. That clears that up. The other thing is that I found out from our attorney, Ms. Bagelar, that the Alaska Supreme Court actually ruled that an excise tax does not need to go to a vote of the people. And in fact, city council is representing people, so it is not, in fact, taxation without representation. We are representing the people. And so I just wanted to bring that up because that's a little concerning to me that we're thrown around the Boston Tea Party and such. But I also want to say too that, on the topic of, sales of sugary beverages going down or what happens to tobacco and the sales of that going down in the stores, you have to think about, I'm no economics major, nor do I have a degree, but supply and demand, right? If a product is not selling as much anymore, the store will buy less of it to then sell for retail. So, I mean, that's something to consider too, that, if this was to pass and if pop sales would go down, the stores would adjust accordingly, right? Another thing is that it got brought up that it seems like most of this money was going to be going to an expansion of a gym, right, the building of a gym. And looking in the draft ordinance, it also talks about expanding the trail system. And that's something that everybody around town uses, right? Tons of people walk, snow machine, four-wheeler around town. And so it isn't just limiting it to, expanding an actual center that people have to have memberships to use and that kind of thing, which can be more limiting. I understand that. But I think keeping that in mind too, and that's something that council said they'd like to hear more about are more concrete ideas for the use of this money. And that's something that various citizens who've reached out to me have also voiced as well, that they want to understand more of what exactly this money would be going to, which I imagine could be hammered out down the road if this was to pass. Now I will say that I do have concerns. What this looks like to me and when I first heard about this tax is it kind of seems like a class tax, right? And I don't want us to get into a situation like a lot of people have brought up where it seems that the people who are able to be heard tonight and maybe have the resources or access, even though we're trying to expand that as much as we can, are having their voices be heard and want to support a tax on a product that perhaps, I don't know for sure, they don't really consume as much or buy as much, but are then collecting taxes from people who do have that as part of their grocery shopping every week or every day, depending, and using that to fund some kind of center that then upper class or middle class could then use as a result, and if that makes sense. And I don't want to get into that territory either. So I guess I'm just, I see both sides of this, and I think it deserves more research and more discussion and maybe kind of getting into the details of what this actually is and what we're actually debating here. Thank you.
Additional discussion. Thank you, Vice Mayor Hansen, for that. I'll go with Council Member Leary and then Council Member McCormick.
Thank you. I'll be brief. As it currently stands, I do not support Ordinance 20-25. I personally have no issue with paying a little extra when I purchase sugary drinks in order to fund parks and rec projects and programs that will benefit the community at large. I also understand the overall health benefits of consuming less sugar. But as this would affect more than myself, we must consider the will of the citizens. When we first discussed this ordinance back in August, I said that I wanted to hear feedback from the public, the people that will be paying this tax. And I think we can all agree that the opposition has been overwhelmingly louder. Does this mean that they're the majority? I'm not sure. And even though I do not agree with all the points made by the opposition, I do have the duty to respect those opinions and thank those people for bringing those opinions forward. I would be more willing to support this tax if several voters were able to weigh in, regardless of if it is legal or not to do it this way. I think having the support of our voters would go a long way. And I wanted to just thank everyone that has contacted us privately or participated in meetings to voice your support or opposition. It really means a lot. I think we need to spend some more time educating the public as to the details of this ordinance. Education, as far as I think that was brought up a lot on people to be heard, I think putting more effort into educating the public and the consumers about all of these devastating health situations, as far as, the dental thing is really troubling. The numbers and the rates are astounding. But I don't know if putting an extra tax on sugary beverages will have the effect that we're hoping for. And then I do have a little trouble with that also, that we're trying to raise money on something that we want people to do less of. That just seems, counterintuitive, counterproductive. At this time, I do not support the ordinance as it stands. I definitely would not support increasing the tax rate from 1 cent per ounce to 2 cents per ounce. And I also agree that we do have money in the budget. We're not running in the red. I don't know if at the end of the day or at the end of a fiscal year, it would be worth this big fight for this possibly small pot of money, but That's all for now. Thank you.
Thank you for that, Councilmember Leary. If you guys don't mind, one piece of feedback I've had, or some training that I've had, is that it's a good idea for the mayor to not do their comments, provide their comments last all the time. And so I might just take a moment, and I apologize to Councilmember McCormick, because I know he had asked to speak, but I think that's important that the mayor not always make their comments comments last. So I'm going to go ahead and make mine at this time and then move on to Councilmember McCormick. I just want to share with all the listeners that this agenda item has my name on it, and I do support it. But this came out of the Parks, Rec, Aquatic Health and Safety Center Committee, and this has been on that committee agenda for many, many months, very regularly, and had the unanimous support of everyone on that committee. So that group has taken a really deep dive into this topic and issue. And Councilmember Henderson made a comment about starting with trails as where that committee wanted to invest its funding. Actually, the committee's focus was to, initially, we were exploring ways to increase revenue for the White Cape Fitness Center. That was the initial focus. And I said this at a lot of meetings because I think that this information is really important for all of us on council as well as the public to understand that after some analysis that we conducted last year, we find that the fitness center is running on average $130,000 a year more for an operating budget than is collected in the annual sales tax allocation. Now, that does not mean that any general funds have been used to support that. In fact, the dedicated fund that was created before the facility's completion is large enough that the difference in the annual budget has been drawn down from that dedicated fund. So the fitness center has historically run on the sales tax that has been collected for that intended purpose. However, we cannot continue to draw down more than we're putting into that fund on an annual basis. And so the committee was looking for a solution to that. And this was one way that was identified to explore to provide that source of revenue. And after that was identified and we started doing the deep dive, and I'll switch to speaking about my personal experience now, and shift away from the committee votes, I've spent about an hour a week on this topic for many months. And what started for me as an interest in pursuing a revenue stream has evolved into a commitment to the public health policy aspect of this ordinance. And seeing some of the communications that came out, the way the communications came out, was discouraging to me. And there's a couple things I want to say so that the public is aware. And at the end of the day, folks are going to vote, and however that goes is fine. But I do want people to hear about the beverages that are excluded from the excise tax, the proposed exemptions. Okay, so this is on page 24. It's exemptions. It's 417A30. And so a lot of information went out calling this a beverage tax. It's not a beverage tax. It's a sugary beverage tax. And so this tax would not apply to any distribution of syrups and powders sold directly to a consumer and intended for personal use by a consumer that are not already premixed into a sugar-sweetened beverage product, such as granulated sugar, honey, agave, and similar products. Excluded is any milk product, infant formula, alcoholic beverage, beverage for medical use, and any product that does not meet the definition of the sugar-sweetened beverage. And there's a number of beverages that would not be impacted at all by the excise tax. I mentioned being compelled by the public health data, and for folks who've taken a look at the information provided as supportive material to the ordinance, there are 223 pages of studies that show the impacts of these products and the public health costs. And it's very clear to me that each one of us is paying for this one way or the other. We're paying at the stores, or we're paying the health costs in our medical bills, or in our insurance policies, and we're paying for it with our health, and ultimately, as you've heard tonight, we're paying for it with our lives. And so I think, I understand that folks are gonna have different opinions on this, and that this is a sensitive topic, it shouldn't be taken lightly, it deserves a lot of time, and I hope that council considers looking at a couple of the proposed amendments, one of which is more recent from the committee. It was a November committee meeting. That data shows that the price point to discourage purchasing is actually 2 cents on the ounce as opposed to 1 cent. That's where that proposal came from. But anyway, I hope that that council considers putting this off for a few months and allowing people to learn about it, allowing people to learn where their revenue will go. I'll speak to that quickly and then we'll move on. Dedicated revenues. All revenues collected, this is in the proposed amendment from the November meeting, all revenues collected from the excise tax imposed by this chapter shall be deposited monthly in an interest-bearing account. And I'll get to the interesting part. The revenue generated and held in the interest-bearing account shall be allocated first to ensure that annual revenues equal annual expenditures to prevent a decrease in the YK Fitness Center fund balance. The remaining annual fund balance shall be allocated based on need to the planning and construction of the YK Fitness Center Phase 2, and that's the community gym, and the park development fund for the funding of parks and recreational design, development, maintenance, and other recreational opportunities in the city of Bethel. We also added to this list water programs and projects in response to public concern that some of these funds should be used to in some way improve the quality or access to high quality drinking water in certain neighborhoods in the community. So I think I understand this is a tax, it's sensitive, it is an excise tax, I hope that council will take some time to discuss it and make a thoughtful, informed vote at a future time. So thanks, that's what I have. And moving on, you are on the list, Council Member McCormick.
Thank you very much, Mayor DeWitt. So I guess now I'll just take the opportunity to make the motion, considering that you just brought it up, to make the motion to amend this ordinance with the suggestions that were brought forth by the Park and Rec Committee.
Okay, and Council Member McCormick, there are two sets of recommendations from the Parks and Rec Committee. In your motion, are you referring to both sets so we know what the motion is? There's the September 16th recommendation, which is page 27 of the packet, and then there is unfortunately, I ripped the page number up. I think it's page 35 of the packet, which has the additional amendments.
Just give me a moment. I had it here, and then I lost it. Just 1 moment, please.
No problem. And while you look, I'm going to ask City Clerk Strickler, do you want those read out loud?
I think that a summary of the intent and language of the amendments is important, yes.
Okay. So, Councilmember McCormick, when you find those, just let us know.
The second one is on page 36.
Thank you, Councilmember Leary. So, page 27 and 36.
So these would be the second whereas statement, the 15th whereas statement, and the 26th whereas statement. I apologize if that's not what you were looking for.
The council, so just to refer to the recommendations to council from the Parks Committee, is on page 27 of the packet. And this is amending 407A90, clarifying how to prioritize the funds, making up the deficit in annual sales tax revenue, strategic planning for phase two gym, trails and boardwalk development, and other recreational opportunity or operations. Adding verbiage in the ordinance after indoor recreation is a limited commodity. Funds will support the development and construction of a phase two multi-purpose community gym. And adding verbiage at the end of whereas statements on the ordinance, sustaining and expanding our current fitness center will improve social and physical well-being for current and prospective residents. That's the first set of the park's recommendations. And then Councilmember McCormick, City Clerk Strickler.
Yeah, if I may, I believe that the ordinance, I'm actually pretty certain the ordinance amendment that's listed there that you have open on that page encompasses the document before.
Okay.
It was intended to encompass the document before.
Okay.
Do you want to take a brief at ease?
Sure. So, read at ease really quickly to make sure we're on the right version of these things.
You are muted.
So, I took the recommendation from the Parks and Recreation Committee, and when you guys had your meeting at the last time, I presented it in this format just to make sure that the language and the intent was met.
What was your proposal?
Does that mean not at this stage? Yeah.
I proposed to add the amendment that they were outlined in those suggestions made by Parks and Rec. So those are on page 27 of the amendment.
Okay. Councilmember McCormick, Clerk Strickler showed me there's been a few iterations of this, that the most recent version is page 36 of the packet. The second, and it is what we're talking about, the second, 15th, and 26th, whereas, I apologize. Do you want me to read those, or do you want to read those for the council members in the public?
I'm having such a hard time finding it right now. I thought I had it, but
okay.
If you can pull it up, I apologize.
So page 36, and I apologize to the public. There was the first set of recommendations, and then they are included with that second set of recommendations from the November meeting. Okay, page 36 of the packet. Second, whereas, the goal of enhancing close-to-home indoor and outdoor recreation for Bethel citizens, improving park maintenance for current parks, and maintaining and extending the community's trail system is a priority for City Council. The 15th, whereas, funds from the sugar sweetened beverage excise tax will be used to support the development and construction of the YK Fitness Center Phase 2 Community Gym. And 26th, whereas sustaining and expanding our current fitness center will improve social and physical well-being for current and prospective residents. Then, moving down, the committee recommended moving from a 1 cent to a 2 cent per fluid ounce tax. And then going down to the next change is under dedicated revenues. I actually read that a few minutes ago, but for the purpose of the motion that's on the table, by CJ McCormick, I'll go ahead and read it now. All revenues collected from the excise tax imposed by this chapter shall be deposited monthly in an interest-bearing account. The revenue generated and held in the interest-bearing account shall be allocated first to ensure annual revenues equal annual expenditures to prevent a decrease in the YK Fitness Center fund balance. The remaining annual fund balance shall be allocated based on need to the planning and construction of the YK Fitness Center Phase 2 and the Park Development Fund for the funding of park and recreational design and development, park maintenance, and other recreational opportunities in the City of Bethel and water programs and projects. Those are the suggested amendments to the ordinance. And there's a motion on the table. Is there a second? Okay, hearing no second, motion fails. And that brings us back to the main item on the...
Senator Mayor?
Yes.
Yeah. So just a few comments. I know that when taxes of any sort come in front of any legislative body, it's always, it can get divisive. And the tobacco excise tax was similarly controversial. I still haven't seen any evidence that its passage had any of the desired effect. The body pushed it kind of unintended vaporized. So, you know, we passed taxes, the alcohol and marijuana sales taxes of 50% were passed by the voters. As well, pretty well discussed. I look at this entire issue as a public health issue. There's a significant social cost. People will, if they don't poo-poo it, they will say, well, it's just a matter of choice. But the social cost is particularly evidenced in the dental health of the children of Bethel, the children of the YK Delta. One question I asked a representative of the beverage industry when I was called was, do you know what silver teeth are? And the answer was that they didn't, and I did my best to explain it. Just think about this. A little kid of any age who drinks pop or Tang or Amma's Tang or whatever, the very, very, very significant damage that's done to their, I guess the fancy word is dentition, to their teeth, to their baby teeth, and sometimes to the adult teeth that are underneath it, is significant, long-lasting, and sometimes has lifetime impacts. I challenge anybody to stick a straight pin into the palm of your hand and then sit in the schoolroom all day long and try to concentrate. So, you know, the social cost here is that children are being almost denied an opportunity to succeed because of a significant health issue. I wanted to say that. As far as sugar being addictive, I remember I was in Toke a long time ago at the 4th of July, and I think it was Chief Oscar Isaac. Yeah, it was Chief Oscar, who made a little speech. And he said, you know, I remember when the first traders, first white people came to the Upper Tanana Valley. And I remember the first time I tasted sugar. And his comment was basically, I was hooked. So, you know, the fact is that sugar, I'm not going to talk about the beverage industry, I'll talk about the refined sugar industry in this country, which is ecologically damaging to places like the Everglades in Florida. They know they've got a product that is just as profitable and far less regulated than tobacco. Now, all of that said, I'm just saying that I consider efforts to reduce harm to be public health issues. I've heard all the arguments about alcohol taxes, marijuana taxes, sales taxes, and tobacco taxes, and you know, I'm sympathetic to those arguments, but at the same time, you know, government does have certain responsibilities. We're the government, we're the elected representatives of the people. What I hope will come out of this, and let me just say, I am in support of tabling this ordinance until, at least until the sun comes up again, metaphorically or actually. I think that there should be some more debate in the community, and the reason for that is that sometimes public policy debates, whether they are, whether the people that are promoting them end up on the winning side or not, public policy debates like this can have a good effect. So I'm in favor of continuing this discussion. I'm in favor of the, you know, community and the council having an opportunity to look at more facts. But at the same time, as a city council, we have to recognize that we have responsibility to make sure that we are providing drinkable water in this community. I remember when the late Vinnie Moses came to the council with a couple of jars of water, and he said very starkly, he showed them to us, it looked pretty ugly, he looked up an owl, and he said, "My dog drinks this water and my dog pukes." You know, so we know that we have intrinsic issues in the community, we have intrinsic infrastructure issues in the community that we have responsibility to do something about for the public health and, you know, for the betterment of our community. So with that, Madam Chairman, Madam Mayor, I'll just say that I am in favor of tabling this motion, and I hope that somebody will make a motion to do that.
Thank you, Council Member Springer. Additional discussion.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Mr. Perry.
Council Member Burke.
So, under definitions, there's a one under 4.178.10010 definition. The third paragraph down, it shall not include drinks commonly referred to as sports drinks or any other common names that are deviations thereof. And then on the next page, it says simple syrup, the second paragraph. Number one, sugar sweetened beverage includes all drinks and beverages commonly referred to as soda, pop, cola, soft drinks, and sports drinks. I think you guys, if this has a chance of ever going anywhere, you need to fix your mistakes. The other thing is on item 2F, any beverage consisting of 100% natural fruit or vegetable juice with no added calorie sweetener. Natural fruit juice and natural vegetable juice is the original liquid, differ without water adding, resulting from pressing of fruits or vegetables. I just would like the public to know that there is a lot of fruit drinks out there that contain sugar, and they would be taxed as well. The on B2, when you're talking about syrup, does that even mean like chocolate syrup? I would probably think so. So that would be taxed based upon the number of ounces that that could be made from chocolate syrup. Your dedicated revenue is construction of YK Fitness Center Phase 2, which is a gymnasium. We can't even have our pool pay for itself with annual revenues, as you stated, where we have to reach into a savings account or a dedicated fund to pay for those unrestricted revenues. So how are we going to afford a gymnasium that will not pay for itself? I know for a fact that living in Nome, they have a huge recreation center, and it has never paid for itself. And that community center or gymnasium is probably about 30 years old now. So I really do believe that
we need to be looking elsewhere. We can't be looking at the burden of lower income people and provide them with more burdens as to, yeah, sugar is addictive. So as someone said earlier, are they going to forego vegetables so that they can drink their pop and not have vegetables available for them to put into a moose stew? So again, I believe this ordinance should be looking somewhere else for taxes other than the sugary beverage tax. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilmember Barr. Additional discussion?
Hi, this is Vice Mayor Hanson.
Vice Mayor Hanson.
Hi, I was wondering if we could have the city clerk outline our options moving forward, just so we know what we can consider and what our timeline would be. Thanks.
Okay, Court Strickland.
Thank you, Mayor DeWitt. So I've heard a couple of council members mention the idea of postponing the question. Right now the council has the question to introduce this ordinance. Is the motion that's presented to them. Generally, our procedure, our code would require us to hold the public hearing on this item December 22nd if the ordinance is introduced. The council has talked about postponing this question, which means they would postpone the introduction of this ordinance, allowing for members of the public to speak on this item only under people to be heard and not under the public hearing. So to consider your options moving forward, you could postpone the introduction until December 22nd or a later date. You could make a motion to postpone the public hearing from December 22nd to a later date when the sun comes up, as Councilmember Springer mentioned. That motion would need to be done prior to the vote on the motion to introduce the ordinance. Otherwise, it would be out of order. Or you can leave it as it is and hold the public hearing on December 22nd, assuming that the motion to introduce passes. Does that clarify some options for the council members?
Yes, thank you.
Very good, thank you.
Okay.
Mayor
Vice Mayor Hanson.
Unless there are other council members who'd like to speak, I'd like to make a motion to postpone the public hearing to a later date. And I know I have to be specific. Correct, Lori?
Yes, that is correct.
Okay. When do we think the sun will rise? Let's see. Lori, do you have any recommendations for that? I mean, it's not that you can tell the future, but...
Right. No, I actually don't have any recommendations. You know, sometime in the spring would be an ideal month. Sun would likely have risen by then. But also, we are uncertain of the condition of COVID. And perhaps if we can get past then, that would be ideal to allow more in-person public comment on this issue. So perhaps April, and again, if a council member does not support the idea of having the postponement of the public hearing occur in April, you can make a motion to amend. Thank you.
Then April 13th, so motion to postpone public hearing to Tuesday, April 13th, 2021.
I'll second that.
Okay, we have a motion on the table from Vice Mayor Hanson to postpone. To postpone introduction, I'm sorry, Vice Mayor Hanson, I didn't catch that. To postpone introduction?
No, it would be to postpone public hearing.
Public hearing, okay, thank you. Postpone public hearing until April 13th. Second by Council Member Springer. Further discussion on this motion on the table? Hearing none, since this is related to an ordinance, we will roll call vote this.
Thank you, Mayor DeWitt. Councilmember Henderson.
No.
Excuse me, I lost my screen just a second, folks. Okay, thank you. Councilmember Springer.
Yes.
Mayor DeWitt.
Yes.
Councilmember McCormick.
Yes.
Councilmember Leary.
Yes.
Vice Mayor Hansen.
Yes.
Councilmember Barr.
No.
Okay, so we have postponed public hearing until April 13th, 2020. All right, we can now move along to new business. No?
We would still have to approve the motion.
We saw the main motion on the table from August. My apologies.
And Madam Mayor?
Yes.
It's 2021.
Oh, 2021. Thank you, Councilmember Springer. All right, that brings us to the motion from August 25th, 2020, which is to introduce this ordinance 2025, creating an excise tax on the distribution of sugar-sweetened beverage products. We've now amended this until April 13th, 2020. I apologize for losing my place there for a moment. And is there further discussion?
Yeah, Madam Mayor.
Councilmember Springer.
Yeah, I've stated on a number of occasions, not just concerning this one, but as a general rule, I will always vote to introduce an ordinance.
Understood. Thank you, Councilmember Springer. Further discussion?
I would just like to add that I think, I'm still not quite completely sure how I feel about this whole thing, but I will say that, you know, there is a bit about getting some feedback there. But I think postponing this to April gives us the opportunity to allow more individuals to potentially participate, discussion and public hearing. You know, people who called in today even mentioned that some were in a privilege to have the ability to call in with the internet and things of that sort. So I think that really we're kind of limited with COVID in accessibility to this discussion publicly. And so I think, just out of respect of everybody really kind of being able to put in their two cents about this, this to me from the people we heard still kind of feels incomplete. I think that proceeding with postponing this is really in the best interest. Getting more discussion on this.
Thank you, Councilmember McCormick. Further discussion? Okay, hearing none, we have a motion on the table. Introduction of Ordinance 2025, creating an excise tax on the distribution of sugar-sweetened beverage products that has been amended for April 13th. Since this is an ordinance, we will roll call vote this. City Clerk Strickler.
Thank you. Councilmember McCormick.
Aye.
Councilmember Barr.
No.
Councilmember Leary.
Yes.
Vice Mayor Hansen.
Yes.
Councilmember Henderson.
No.
Mayor DeWitt.
Yes.
Councilmember Springer.
Yes.
Okay, thank you everyone for that discussion. And that moves us on to new business, item 10. 10.1, this passed on the consent agenda. And this was resolution 20-19, submitting a victim impact statement to the U.S. Attorney's Office, District of Alaska and U.S. versus Carmichael. And then the case number 319-CR-00148, and then -TMB-DMS. And again, like I said, this passed on the consent agenda. This may be of interest to the public, and if you are interested in taking a look at that resolution, it is on page 265 of our packet. All right, that brings us to item 10.2. This item was removed on the consent from the consent agenda by me. I happened to notice in review of these materials today that this is an item, I'll read it and then I'll explain. This is action member item 20-56 to authorize and approve city administration to issue checks totaling $35,237.47 to year three, quarter three, and four community action grant awardees based on the Community Action Grant Technical Review Board's work on scoring applications and deciding how much to award to each applicant. And this is on the agenda from Interim City Manager Williams. You give me just a moment here. I do need to declare a conflict on this, and that is because I happen to notice that one of the proposed grantees is the library, and the library has a fund with BCSF, and because they're part of their consortium library and they're part of universities, so some of their fundraising is through a fund that they hold with us. And when I have a conflict, and just so the public understands, the BMC, the Bethel Municipal Code, states that no city official can vote on any question in which the member has a direct or indirect substantial financial interest. And in these situations, I do need a roll call vote. I represent Bethel Community Services Foundation, and that organization does have a fee which can constitute financial gain from this item of business. So, according to BMC 2.05.150E, as I am the presiding officer, I ask that a vote be taken to determine if I have a conflict of interest, and I will refrain from taking part in debate or discussion. I would seek a motion from the floor, please.
Madam Mayor?
Yes, Councilmember Springer.
Yeah, I move that you do not have a conflict of interest in this matter.
Okay, there's a motion that I do not have a conflict. Is there a second?
Second.
I couldn't hear exactly, but I saw Henderson's name flash up, so I could visually see that. So we have a motion that this is not a conflict. We have a second. Do we want a roll call vote this, City Clerk Strickler?
That would be fine with me.
Okay, let's roll call vote it. It's a little easier with Zoom. Thank you.
Councilmember Leary?
Yes.
So this is a motion presented in a negative, which is actually out of order. So we would need to modify this motion. You can make a motion.
Draw my motion, and I move that you do have a conflict in this matter.
Okay. Do we need to vote on the withdrawal?
No.
Okay. So the revised motion is that stating that the mayor does have a conflict on this agenda item. And the second is still with Henderson. So I'll let City Clerk Strickler roll call.
Madam Mayor?
Yes.
Debate briefly?
Yes.
Yeah, Madam Mayor, I don't intend to vote for my own motion.
Okay. Understood. Thank you, Councilmember Springer.
Okay. With that, if the council members are ready to vote, and an explanation, a vote on a negative motion is complicated for historical purposes and understanding what the actual intent of the motion was. So if you believe that Mayor DeWitt has a conflict, you would vote in favor. If you believe she does not have a conflict, you would vote in the opposition. And we are voting. So, Council Member Henderson.
No.
Council Member Springer.
No.
Council Member Leary.
No.
Vice Mayor Hansen.
No.
Council Member McCormick.
No.
Council Member Barr.
No.
Thank you.
Okay, in this event, I'm going to go back to the item, agenda item 10.2, authorizing and approving city administration to issue checks, the checks equaling $35,237.47. Is there a motion to authorize these grants?
So moved.
So moved.
Vice Mayor Hansen.
Okay,
thank you, Vice Mayor Hansen made the motion. Councilmember Henderson second. Vice Mayor Hansen is the maker of the motion. Do you have the opportunity for first debate? Do you have any discussion?
No discussion really. I meant to just already let people know who got the awards and for how much. I think that'd be something the public might be interested in.
Yeah.
Or I can.
No, I'm just opening it up here. So the proposed grantees are on page 267 of the packet. I'm just, my computer's at risk of trying to give up here. 500-page packet this evening. One second, I'm almost there, and I'll read them out loud. We have Iapron Lignavat Cross Country with a recommended award of $1,557.47. And this program covers costs expended when the school sponsored a marathon in which school kids ran a mile a day for 25 days. Costs include bags, t-shirts, water bottles, and medals. So $1,557.47 to Iapron Lignavat Cross Country. Then the other grantee, and this is the one I discussed, is to the library, which has a fund with us. And this is for the Jesuit volunteer position. This is for $33,680. And $18,000 of this would cover the cost of the Jesuit volunteer serving in the library for 1 year to provide outreach services. And the balance, the rest of the funding, would cover after-school tutoring at the library or over Zoom. So those are the two grantees and the activities funded with those two grants. Thank you for asking for that, Vice Mayor Hansen. And Councilmember Henderson, do you have anything for discussion?
I just would like to say the application process and the scoring and everything is a lot of work. And just listening to the committee and seeing the work that they've done. And so I believe that the grantees are very, what's the word I want? Deserving of these grants. So, I agree with them.
Okay, thank you, Councilmember Henderson. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those who would like to vote in favor of authorizing $35,237.47 to these two grantees through Action Memorandum 20-56, please vote by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, please say nay. Okay, congratulations to Iapron Cross Country and the Kuskokwim Consortium Library. Item 10.3, the Action Memorandum to Direct Administration to Prepare and Submit an FY22 Public Transit Grant Application to Fund the Operation of the Bethel Transit System with up to $85,000 in local cash match from the city's FY2022 budget as sponsored by Interim City Manager Williams, passed on the consent agenda this evening, so we will not be discussing that further. That brings us to item 10.4. This is Action Memorandum 20-58, directing city administration to negotiate and execute an agreement with Myers Farm for the purchase of up to 2,890 boxes of produce at a cost of up to $130,050 using CARES Act funds, and then distribute the food free to those in need. Sponsored by Interim City Manager Williams. And unfortunately, as council members know, and I'll explain to the public, that I have to declare an interest as this involves CARES funds, and I represent the Bethel Community Services Foundation, an organization that has been involved with the implementation and administration of CARES funds in the nonprofit and business grant making aspects, and as a result, I withdraw myself from all matters involving CARES funding at the City of Bethel in my City Council role. So according to Bethel Municipal Code 2.05.150E, as I am the presiding officer, I will ask that a motion be made and a vote be taken to determine if I have a conflict of interest, and I will then refrain from taking part in debate or discussion of this item. I seek a motion.
Madam Mayor, I move that you have a conflict of interest regarding the expenditure of CARES Act funding.
Thank you, Councilmember Springer. Is there a second?
I'll move. Oh, Perry.
Thank you, Councilmember Barr. And Clerk Strickler, just for the ease of Zoom, will you roll call vote this evening?
Yes.
Thank you.
Let me get that.
One moment.
Councilmember Leary?
No.
Vice Mayor Hansen?
Yes.
Councilmember Springer?
Yes.
Councilmember Henderson?
I'm confused on the yes and no. Yes, there's a conflict, or no?
So yes would represent that you believe she has a conflict of interest on this item.
Okay. Yes.
Councilmember Barr?
Yes.
Councilmember McCormick?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Vice Mayor Hansen. I'm going to step away until this item is complete.
All right, thank you. All right, so as she stated, this is Action Memorandum 20-58. And I was wondering if Acting City Manager Williams would like to talk about this Action Memorandum.
Vice Mayor Hansen, if I could interrupt, we should have a motion to adopt Action Memorandum 20-58 and have that motion seconded.
All right, thank you so much. I would entertain a motion to approve Action Memorandum 20-58.
So moved.
Second.
All right, so that was Councilmember Henderson. Was that you with the motion?
Yes, ma'am.
All right, and then Mr. Springer, that was you with the second?
That's correct.
All right, thank you. Lori, can we hear from Acting City Manager Williams now?
Sure.
Cool, thanks. Pete, do you think you could help us out and just explain it to the public?
Sure. Vice Mayor Hansen and City Council members. This came up kind of at the last moment last week, just before we had to have this package into the...
We can't hear you, Pete.
Try now, Pete. Try now.
Can you hear me now?
There you go.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Vice Mayor Hansen, City Council members, this action came up just before we had to turn in our the packet material to the city clerk. And the idea here was with the CARES money going away, we're still considering it. It's going to disappear on December 30th, was to try to get some funds out into the community, somebody that could use it and then return the benefit back to the community. So the idea here is that he would, by forwarding the funds to Myers Farm, we could, at the end of December, he would still have some funds left in. He'd be able to distribute the food boxes throughout the community using the Lions Club. So that was kind of the idea, was to try to use up some of these funds before they potentially could go away. Anybody's got any questions? Or? No.
Thank you, Ms. Williams. Councilmember Henderson, as the maker of the motion, you go first. Do you have any questions or want to say anything?
Hey, I just want to say I think this is a great idea. We're supporting a local business and at the same time feeding our community for those that truly need the help. And so I totally agree with this one. I love it. Thanks.
Thank you. And Mr. Springer, do you have anything to add?
I just want to say that we've been working with Tim for a couple months now over at OSC, doing boxes of produce, and he does a very good job, and he's certainly got capacity, I know, to fill the amount that he's offering.
Great, thank you. Are there any other council members who'd like to make comments?
Madam Vice
Mayor? Yeah, Council Member Leary?
So I guess I would like to make a motion to strike Myers Farm and insert up the line itself. I can speak more to that, I can speak a little more as to why in a moment.
All right, let me just take some notes here. All right, so there is a motion on the floor to strike Myers Farm and insert Bethel Lions Club. Is there a second?
For discussion purposes, yes.
All right, Councilmember Barr seconded. And Councilmember Leary? As the maker of the motion, you have responded.
So after this was put into the packet and after this was initially discussed, it realized that it would be a little cleaner to provide the CARES fund to a nonprofit who then could choose to use Myers Farm or a vendor of their choosing, but Myers Farm is a pretty obvious choice. To execute the produce box program. And I would be welcome to ask interim city manager Williams chiming in on this if he has any insights.
Council member, the reason I kind of was thinking of using Myers Farm was because he's able to do the physical labor of this chore on his own without having to worry about volunteers. So that was my thought on this, is that he's able to facilitate the movement of the, you know, purchasing the food. He's able to package the boxes. He's able to transport the goods. And I got no personal objection against the Lions Club, but you know, one problem that has come up with a large amount of food with the Lions Club, and I'm not sure where they stand, but was able to store it. I know there was some talk on trying to purchase a refrigerated van and a vehicle for that purpose, but when I wrote this up, my thought was that Myers Farms has the means to facilitate this action. So that was my thoughts.
Okay, I guess let me be a little more clear. So in providing support to a local business, which obviously we would all vote in favor of, or be, you know, we would all be supportive of that, but that would normally fall under the umbrella of the business assistance program, so the small business assistance that's run through Bethel Community Services. And so I think my intention and I believe that our city clerk and city attorney weighed in on this today, so maybe I would should have deferred to our lawyer, Ms. Bacalar, as to why it would be cleaner to funnel the funds through the food bank rather than directly to Myers Farm. Libby, would you like to chime in?
Sure, Councilmember Leary. I actually don't think there is
huge legal issue with that, actually. I think as long as the city is granting these COVID funds consistently, through the regular procedures that we've been using, it should be fine. I don't know if Lori has anything to add to that. I think it's more of a, I don't think there's a huge legal issue, actually, either way. I don't know, Lori, do you want to back me up on that?
Well, so I think that the point that you made was the policy direction. And I think that by presenting a check of $130 to one vendor in town without presenting that option to other vendors in town for like services is not something that we have done with the CARES Act funding. And I feel like our general practice has been to issue checks to nonprofits for them to utilize in their distribution of food. So I guess my red flag was that this has not been the standard process for the distribution of funds. And unfortunately, I didn't have a chance to speak with Interim City Manager Pete on this, and he wasn't actually part of the process prior to this. So I apologize to you, Pete, for that. I just realized that this was up for discussion this evening. So this is a little bit outside of what has been standard. But if, again, if you don't have legal concerns on that, then I'll sit back.
Well, I guess the only legal concern would be sort of an equity concern, like an equal protection concern. The government has to treat all similarly situated, entities equally. So I understand the context a little bit more clearly here. Sorry. Getting a little bit late, and I start at 10 p.m. my brain starts to sort of freak out a little bit. I think we need to follow the practices that we've been following equally for each type of business. So that's why it would be cleaner. You don't want another entity coming back and saying, I wasn't given this opportunity. They were. So for that reason, it would be cleaner, but it's less of a legal issue, more of a policy administration issue. Does that help, Councilmember Leary?
Yeah, thank you.
Okay.
And this is Vice Mayor Hanson. I just have a question here about if that was to be struck and replaced, can we assume that the Lions Club would be okay with that, and they would be able to provide what this action memorandum lays out? That's my main concern here. Or does this need to be reworked and brought forward at a later date?
Well, Vice Mayor Hanson, that's probably a good idea. Sounds like.
The only concern that I would have is we're coming upon the 11th hour, and before we have our next meeting, I don't know how much time we're going to have to vote on this.
Looking at the calendar, it looks like we have one last meeting of 2020. Which would be December 22nd. So, Clerk Strickler, is there a way that if this was not to pass tonight and it got reworked and brought forward again, I guess that's only 8 days left in December. Councilmember Springer, is that you?
The city spent a lot of money on PPE, and they bought it from vendors, and then gave it away, a lot of it. So we're talking about the same thing. We've already heard from our council that there's no particular legal issue here in purchasing a product and then having it delivered to the Lions Club for distribution. I think that people are kind of dancing at this backwards. We're not talking about giving money to the Lions. I think you know, when we talk about the Lions Club receiving the funds, they would just be turning around and purchasing those produce boxes from Mr. Myers. I think it's much more efficient. If we pass this tonight, he can be getting busy with it tomorrow. You know, again, it's no different than how the city purchases masks or hand sanitizer or anything else. It's a product from a vendor, and then it's going to be given to a distributor. That's the way I'm looking at it. So I'm not in favor of amending it to basically channel the funding to the Lions Club.
Vice Mayor, this is Henderson.
Uh-huh.
I just want to say I agree with Mark. It's the same thing where the city is purchasing produce to give to the community, and it's the same thing as, in my eyes, as buying the PPEs and giving it to the community. So I agree with Councilmember Springer.
Thank you, Councilmember Henderson. Is there anyone else who'd like to speak on this?
Hi, it's Mary Hansen. It's Perry. Just one last comment for me was, and maybe Ms. Leary can answer this, was the Lions Club expecting a payout of some sort?
Sorry, expecting a what?
A, you know, a percentage of the money or something to administer the buying of the produce?
I can't answer that question. I'm sorry.
Okay, any other council members before we vote on the amendment? Right now we have a motion on the floor by Councilmember Leary to strike Myers Farm and Mr. Bethel Lions Club. And we have a second from Councilmember Barr. So I think we're ready for the vote on that.
Sure. Vice Mayor Hansen.
No.
Councilmember Leary.
No.
Councilmember Springer.
No.
Councilmember Henderson.
No.
Councilmember McCormick.
No.
Councilmember Barr.
No.
All right, thanks everybody. So then that brings us back to the original motion to approve this action memorandum. We already have a motion on the floor by Councilmember Henderson that's been seconded by Councilmember Springer. So unless there's any other discussion, we'll vote on it. Anybody out there have any last minute? Clerk Strickler, would you like to do roll call again just for Zoom purposes?
Sure, it does seem to be easier that way. Councilmember Springer.
Yes.
Councilmember Leary.
Yes.
Vice Mayor Hansen.
Yes.
Councilmember McCormick.
Yes.
Councilmember Barr.
Yeah.
And Councilmember Henderson.
Yeah.
All right, so that brings us to the next item on the agenda, which is, where are we here? Item 10.5. So we can actually bring the mayor back to this. Mayor DeWitt, are you there?
Okay, thank you, Vice Mayor Hansen, for facilitating that agenda item. Okay, item 10.5, Action Memorandum 20-59. This is council authorization to administration to begin work on conveyance of city property, the current site of the ONC multipurpose building, which is plat 71-425, tract A, block 9, to ONC. This is on the agenda sponsored by Interim City Manager Williams. I understand we may have council members that need to indicate that they might have a conflict of interest on this issue.
Yeah, Madam Mayor.
Yes, Council Member Springer.
Yeah, I'm the Executive Director of ONC. I may be privy to Their discussions, including possibly advice to their legal counsel in regard to this matter, they'd be in a position to be instructing the rest of the council, instructing administration, including our attorney in this matter. So I'm going to declare a conflict of interest for myself on consideration of the action memorandum.
Thank you for that, Councilmember Stringer. So to summarize for the public, the Buffalo Municipal Code states that no city official may vote on any question in which the member has a direct or indirect substantial financial interest. And to determine if a conflict is direct or indirect, I evaluate the following items. One is the financial interest a substantial part of the consideration? The second is, does the financial interest directly and substantially vary with the outcome of the official action? Is the financial interest immediate and known or conjectural and dependent on the factors beyond the official action? Or is the financial or private interest monetarily significant? And at this point, we have yet to determine if this potential transfer of property would be of fair market value. And there is a potential ONC will have some benefit or the expectation of benefit. And so I would rule that Councilmember Springer has an indirect substantial financial interest in the action before the body, and will ask him to exclude himself in discussion and debate.
Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Yeah, absolutely. And I will add one second, Councilmember Henderson. Yes, one moment, okay. Councilmember Henderson. I do want to remind the council that while the BMC does prohibit council members from having a conflict from participating in debate and action, it does not prohibit them from addressing council as a private citizen. So if at some point council does find it necessary to suspend the rules to hear from ONC's executive director, Mark Springer, they may do so. Council Member Henderson.
Yes, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt earlier. I believe there might be a conflict with me participating as well. I am a tribal member of ONC, and though I will not have a financial gain in it, because they do not distribute dividends or anything, I don't want it to come back at a later date saying, well, ONC got it because Sugar was on the council. So I would ask to be excused as well.
Thank you, Councilmember Henderson. And I guess I would say, while I certainly understand the tribe doesn't pay dividends, I acknowledge that you have a conflict as a member of this tribe, and so yes, I will also find that conflict. So thank you, Councilmember Henderson, for that disclosure. Are there any other conflicts we should be aware of?
Thank you, Madam Mayor.
You're welcome. Any other conflicts this evening? Okay, is there a motion to approve Action Memorandum 20-59.
So moved, period. Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councilmember Barr. Is there a second?
A second, this is Leary.
Thank you, Councilmember Leary. As the maker of the motion, Councilmember Barr, you have the opportunity tonight for first debate. Councilmember Burr, discussion?
Sorry, I was talking to myself. It is getting late. I was looking at the conveyance and looking at the maps and et cetera. I don't see a line on the, or in the picture as to how big that lot is. I would like to defer to Mr. Williams. Maybe he can provide some insight into this.
Yes, Council, I'm sorry, Interim Manager Williams, please.
Mayor DeWitt, Councilmember Barr, that's part of the work that we need to do, that there's, we need to do a survey, an as-built survey is what I prefer. We'll probably have to walk over there with somebody from ONC and decide exactly what we're going to subdivide out of the existing lot, and then we'll have to do an appraisal based on that survey. So, what you have in front of you is just what we had on record, and because I really think that something needs to be subdivided there. We really don't have a lot, even though it says there is one there, and there might be once the surveyors take those marks, but we certainly don't know where those marks are, so it'll be necessary to have a survey and then an appraisal. There is an appraisal kicking around, but I want everybody to be careful. It was created by Dan Shea, who was the city manager, and he was not a certified appraiser. So, anyways, that's part of the work that needs to be done, Councilmember Barr.
Thank you, Pete. I was looking at the document a little further, and it looks like there is a plat or a tract. Tract A, Block 9, Northwest Division to the Bethel Town site. You're right. It's signed by Don Baird, who was the manager at the time. Okay, so we're in negotiations now as to what the property may be worth, is my understanding.
Mayor DeWitt.
Please, please.
Councilmember Barr, that's all yet to be determined, but we'll have to go out and do a survey. We'll have to take that survey, give it to an appraiser, and he'll come back with fair market value of the land, which then at that time will bring all that information back to council to make a final decision. So that should probably work.
Yeah, thank you, Pete. Thank you for that clarification. That's all I have, Mayor.
Okay, thank you, Councilmember Barr. And Councilmember Leary, I believe you were the second on this. Do you have any questions?
I don't have any, but sorry, I was muted. I don't have any comments or questions. I'm looking forward to this moving forward. Thank you.
Okay, additional discussion on this item? Questions or comments? Okay. Hearing none, we have a motion on the table. All those in favor of approving Action Memorandum 20-60, please vote by saying aye.
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 Any opposed, please say nay. All right, Action Memorandum 2060 is approved. The next item on our agenda is a pass on the consent agenda, and that is in the packet. It's the presentation of the city's water and sewer services expenditures. Item 10.7, it's compared to budget from July 1, 2020 through November 30th, 2020, utilities maintenance, water and wastewater activity report. So if anybody's interested in those numbers, please do have a look at that data in our packet.
Pardon me, Mayor?
Yes, Vice Mayor Hansen.
Did I miss something or did we skip over 10.6?
Oh, geez, I apologize. Sorry, guys. It's getting late this evening. Okay, thank you, Vice Mayor Hansen. Moving backwards on the agenda, item 10.6. This is Action Memorandum 20-60, authorizing administration to distribute funds to Bethel Community Services Foundation to support the outstanding funding requests of the Round 2 Business Recovery Grant Program, the Individual Assistance Program, the Nonprofit Grant Program, contingent on December 30th, 2020 expiration of the CARES Act grant, not being extended.
So this is, again, my apologies to counsel, but I have to, on anything to do with CARES, declare a conflict of interest as I represent Bethel Community Services Foundation. The organization will have substantial financial gain from this item of business. And again, I need to ask for a vote to be taken to determine if I have that conflict of interest. And once that is found, I'll refrain from taking part in discussion or debate. I am seeking a motion from the floor, please.
So moved.
Thank you, Vice Mayor Hanson. Second?
Second.
Okay, thank you. I think that was McCormick. Clerk Strickler, this is one where I appreciate a roll call vote on this conflict.
Vice Mayor Hanson?
Yes.
Councilmember Barr?
Yes.
Councilmember Springer? Councilmember Springer?
Yes.
Councilmember Leary?
Yes.
Councilmember Henderson?
Yes.
And Councilmember McCormick?
Yes.
Okay, Vice Mayor Hanson, I am going to step away and thank you for facilitating this item.
Thank you. All right, we have action memorandum 20-60. I entertain a motion to approve this action memorandum.
So moved.
Thank you, Councilmember Springer. Is there a second?
Second.
Was that you, Councilmember Leary?
Yes.
All right, thank you. All right, and so Interim City Manager Williams, would you be able to talk about this action memorandum for us, please?
Vice Mayor Hanson, City Councilmember. So this is to authorize to distribute funds to the Bethel Community Service Foundation to support outstanding funding requests for round two of the Business Recovery Grant Program, the Individual Assistant Program, and the Nonprofit Grant Program, contingent on December 30th, 2020 expiration, CARES Act grant not being extended. So I'm going to skip down to number one here. Administration seeks council authorization to distribute funds to the Bethel Community Service Foundation to support the following items in the following order. The outstanding funding requests of round two, Business Recovery Grant Program, round two, the Business Recovery Grant Program, funded at $527,500, concluded with a review and prioritization of 46 applicants that were not funded in round one of the grant program. There are approximately 50 more applications received by local businesses that were previously funded but not reviewed for compliance due to lack of prior funding. So that's what this 500 and the authorization to use this $527,504 was for the round two of the business grants. So that takes any questions.
Thanks, Mr. Williams. As the maker of the motion, Councilmember Springer, would you like to go first?
I'm just going to vote.
All right, thank you. And Councilmember Leary?
I don't have any comments. I'm fully supportive of this going for a second round. Thank you.
Great, thanks. Are there any other council members who'd like to make a comment?
Vice Mayor Hanson, this period.
Yeah, go for it.
Thank you. Pete, this question is for Pete. I see that your CARES Act expenditures report as of November, it's as of November 13th, 2020. 2020. Do you have more updated numbers as to how much money we may have left? And that's almost a month ago.
Yep, Vice Mayor Hanson, Councilman Barr, we've got just a little under $2 million left. We just passed we just made our last draw just a couple of days ago, the grant writer still has one more report to do. We finished one today. With the next report, he should be drawing the last draw. So it's about $2 million approximately is what we have left.
Thank you, sir. That's all the questions I have. Vice Mayor Hanson.
Thank you, Councilmember Barr. Is there anyone else? Any council members? Hearing none, we'll go to a vote to approve action memorandum 20-60. Clerk Strickler, could you do a roll call just for Zoom's sake?
Sure. Councilmember McCormick?
Yes.
Councilmember Henderson?
Yes.
Councilmember Springer?
Yes.
Councilmember Leary?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Hanson?
Yes.
Councilmember Barr?
Yes.
All right, thank you, everybody. Mayor DeWitt, we're ready for you.
All right, so apologies, that brings us down, and thank you, Vice Mayor Hanson, to item 10.7, the information memorandum 2020 that I mentioned earlier, which is the presentation of water and sewer services expenditures. And that's in the packet if anyone wants to see that. It's passed on the consent agenda. Item number 11 on the agenda, that's reports, and we start with item 11.1. The mayor's report, and I do not have anything, I don't think I have anything in particular to share tonight. So that brings us to 11.2, the city manager's report. Interim Manager Williams.
Mayor DeWitt, council members. On my manager's report, one thing I like, we're starting to move into the, starting to get our budgets together, but one thing I wanted you to know was the review of the public works building code and conditional survey. That building is really in poor shape, and the foundation is sound, but to bring it back up to code is very expensive. So I just wanted to kind of make note of that. There are value in that building. We've lost heat for many, many years in that building, and so it's something that kind of want to just kind of put on everybody's radar. The other thing that kind of I've heard some comments about was the liquor, their sales tax for the liquor, and I started to do a little bit of work on that. I phoned Brown Jug and Gold Rush, and what they've done is submitted their payments. There's about 6 months worth of payments that were submitted to our Express Bill Pay account, and when our general ledger account's been out on personal leave for about 3 days, or I guess it's a little longer than that, about 5 days now. But anyways, when he gets back, we'll pull those funds out of that account and put them where they're supposed to be. So I was kind of at least glad we traced the payments down. If anybody, that's all I have for that report. I have some new stuff here. If anybody's got any comments maybe on that report or any of the directors or managers' reports, so take any questions you have on those.
Any questions for Interim Manager Pete Williams?
Madam Mayor.
Councilmember Leary.
Excuse me, Mr. Williams, I was hoping you could speak to, it was mentioned by someone during People Be Heard tonight, and I was also mentioned to me earlier today, the note or memo or whatever that was included with water bill, like the water bills that are mailed out. I don't get a mail water bill, I didn't see that myself. Just wondering if you could speak to that a little bit.
Yes, Interim Manager Williams.
I honestly, Councilman Larry, I honestly forget the notes that we were going to put in there, what you're talking about.
Clerk Strickler?
Well, I think that the individual that spoke under People to be Heard was talking about water quality, and maybe she was referencing the water quality reports that are sent out. I didn't catch the reference that they were included in the bill, but perhaps.
The water quality reports are sent out periodically. I'm not sure if it's once every 6 months. I kind of think.
No, it's once a year.
Once a year, okay.
Any other questions for Interim Manager Williams?
Madam Mayor. Okay, so do we not know the answer to that question? I'm sorry.
Well, we can get the report if you need it.
No, I don't need not the water quality report. I wanted to know what was being included in people's bills that says that they shouldn't be drinking their water.
So I guess
that's twice today.
So what I'm hearing from Councilmember Leary is, was there something that went into a mailing that you're aware of that warned people not to drink their water?
Not that I'm aware of. So that, like, the water quality report goes out. I haven't seen one since I started working.
Madam Mayor.
Councilmember Henderson.
Thank you. It was also brought to my attention today by somebody that contacted me, and they told me that at the top of your bill, it states your water is not drinkable water, or do not consume. You shouldn't consume your water coming out of the tap or something like that. And he said it was on his bill.
Thank you for that, Council Member Henderson. Interim Manager Williams, since this is not something you're aware of, this is something that you could perhaps research and report back to Council in the form of an email or another communication?
I can get an email tomorrow morning. I'll see what's going on with that.
All right. Thank you for raising that issue, Council Member Leary, and discussing it as well, Council Member Henderson. Additional questions for Interim Manager Williams this evening? Okay, I'm not hearing any more questions for Interim City Manager Williams. That brings us to City Clerk Strickler's report, item 11.3. Clerk Strickler.
Thank you, Mayor DeWitt. I don't have anything additional to add to my report, and for the sake of time, I won't summarize it unless the council wishes for me to do so.
Are there any questions for City Clerk Strickler? I am not hearing any. We're down to agenda item 12, which is council member comments. And we'll just go down the list as it appears on the agenda today, which starts with me. My only comment is referring back to the proclamation we did earlier this evening, seems like many days ago now. Just a reminder to the public to keep in the forefront of their minds our frontline healthcare providers and acknowledge the work that they're doing the week of December 20, always, but also in particular the week of December 27th. And I again want to thank them for their service to our community and region. Vice Mayor Hansen.
I don't have any comments at this time. Thank you.
Thank you, Vice Mayor Hansen. Council Member Barr.
Thank you, Mayor DeWitt. I would just like to remind everybody that it is starting to get cold. People are starting to drive on the river, which is not advised. The river is not very thick. Last I had heard is that it was about 6 to 9 inches in some areas. So if you're considering driving your vehicle on the river, please don't do so. And everybody just be safe. It's going to start to get cold. That's it for me.
Thank you for that, Council Member Barr. Council Member Leary?
No comment. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilmember Leary. Councilmember Springer.
Yeah, thanks, Madam Mayor. So I compliment the other council members on the good civil debate we had this evening on the sugary beverage tax issue. I hope we will continue that level of discourse both as a council and as a public. And you know, we're not out of the woods yet from COVID-19, so keep wearing those masks. I really think Bethel is one of the more effective places in the state in terms of keeping the curve down. I hope that you know, the villages that are around this and further out that have got hit pretty hard by it are able to do similar things and you know, recover. I hope that everybody's got it, both here in Bethel and around the region, recovers well. Keep those masks on. Don't go partying. You know, whether it's a birthday party or a Friday night party or a Saturday night party, you're not doing anybody any favors. Keep your coworkers, your friends, your families in mind. It's just not the time. That's, you know, we know that people gathering for one reason or another is a real opportunity for that virus to spread. And we have to, we have to keep that from happening. So everybody keep up the good work that you do now, wearing masks and be cautious and keep everybody else in mind. So thanks, Madam Mayor.
Thank you for that, Councilmember Springer. Councilmember Henderson.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I too want to thank everybody for that, for the discussion we had today. I found it energizing and very informative. And I do want to ask the public, I just mentioned in my comments earlier that when I was approached several times, you know, I was approached but with name calling and accusations, and I just want to encourage the public, you know, if you want to talk to us, please approach us, you know, like a civil human being. And I listened to you anyway, even though you were, you know, with the name calling and all that, but it was really hard for me to do that, and it would be hard for anybody. We are open, you know, to hear from everybody and anybody, so please just do it in a civil manner. That would be greatly appreciated. And then I believe we're in week 2 of the villages being locked down and in their hunker down at the recommendation of YKHC. Is that correct, or am I not far ahead enough? I believe it was at the last meeting that we had that discussion. But anyway, I'm still seeing people from the close villages coming into town. I see them driving up off the river. I see them coming off the Thunder Trail, going into the stores and doing their shopping. And, you know, we're still on the news as being the hot spot in Alaska. Bethel is the hot spot. Well, we're going to continue to be the hot spot and the super spreader and whatever else they're going to call us if people don't take this seriously and stay home. The stores offer the push orders. You can order your groceries that way. You'll get them. You know, it's not that hard to understand that this is not going to go away if we don't start following and adhering to these recommendations. And I just really want to encourage everybody, please, let's start. I mean, we have to start following these recommendations, and I look forward to more conversation on the ordinance that is being postponed, and I hope it's done in a civil manner, and and I look forward to everyone coming to that meeting and voicing their opinion. That's what it's for. And that's all I have, Mayor. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Councilmember Henderson and Councilmember McCormick.
Yeah, I just wanted to quickly thank everybody who contacted me over this week. You know, a lot of people call me and say, oh, I know you're so glad Disney with phone calls, and I wasn't really. But I just encourage people to please 545-365, call me, let me know what you're thinking, whether it's about the tax or anything. But I just want to thank everybody who did call me. I really like hearing from everyone on that. I look forward to continuing this discussion in the future. And then just, of course, please continue to listen to YKHC and healthcare providers. You know, what goes on in Bethel often spreads to our other neighboring communities. So that's all I can say. Thank you.
Thank you for that, Councilmember McCormick. Okay, the next item on our agenda is an executive session, and it is now 10:34 p.m. I'm thinking people need a short break before we go into that, and I want to ask our city clerk if a vote to go to a break should happen before we go into executive session or after. What's better for recording processes?
So perhaps the council members can make a motion to move into executive session at time specific and then take that opportunity while I get things set up to take the break.
Okay, great. So
Madam Mayor?
Yes, Councilmember Springer.
Yes, question of the clerk. Should we preemptively make a motion
Public to go past 11 o'clock. It has been a long time since we have had to do that. Yes, that would be a really good idea. So legally, we are not required to, but so that the public knows that it is our intent to come back on to the record, it would be a good idea.
Thank you, Mayor. In that case, never mind. I move to go into executive session. The purpose is stated in the agenda to discuss city manager candidates and questions and hiring strategy in accordance with WASC statutes. As again, someone wants to read that, that's fine. And the people present in the second session would be the city attorney, the city clerk, and our hiring contractor consultant. Oh my goodness gracious, I'll tell you her name here in a second. It's Sarah Key.
Okay.
And the council members.
Thank you, Councilmember Springer. Do you want to make a time certain on that so that any council member who might want to break could take one?
What kind of time is it? Yeah, 10:45.
Okay. Motion on the table to begin executive session at 10:45 p.m. City Clerk Stripper, would you like me to read, before we get a second on that, the code on the executive session?
Thank you.
Okay. In accordance with Alaska Statute 4462-310C, number 2, subjects that tend to prejudice the reputation and character of any person, provided the person may request a public discussion, 3, matters which by law, municipal charter, or ordinance are required to be confidential, or 4, matters involving consideration of government records that by law are not subject to public disclosure. Filling the vacancy of city manager, review of applications, discussion of qualifications, and interview questions. Is there a second to this motion?
Second.
Okay, thank you, Councilmember Henderson. There's a second. All those in favor of going into executive session at 10:45, please vote by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, please say nay. All right, we will enter executive session at 10:45. We're on break until then. Thank you.
6 minutes.
Good
night. You are muted.
There are still a lot of people on.
I'll bet a lot of people just left their stuff. Sorry, I'm used to old times. I was so tired.
Huh?
I almost left near you. I was so tired, I forgot.
Yeah. I know. I'm feeling the burn as well.